ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् So, in the last few weeks, we have been covering the Mahavakya Tat Tvam Asi. So, the last 8 or 10 Shlokas, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji has covered Tvam. Who is that which we say as I or as you? Who is that you, Tvam? And there he means the individual, not only the individual being, body, mind, and intellect, but that consciousness that enlivens the individual body, that is Tvam. See, there is a what is called as a vachyartha and lakshyartha. Vachyartha is, you are this, your name, your sex, your, nationality and all that. And then the lakshyartha, what is indicated, is that consciousness. And this consciousness has all the knowledge. It is avikari. It does not change. It is distinct from the three bodies, from the gross, subtle, and causal body. So the idea being that when you said I am Brahma, aham Brahmasmi, or when the teacher says Tat Tvam Asi, this Tvam is not the body but the consciousness. So we should not identify as I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intellect. But if you have this knowledge, then your idea should be that consciousness I am. So now, having covered in detail what Tvam is, Shankara, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is now taking us to what is Tat. Tvam and Tat. So that Tvam is this I, that is that total consciousness, which we call as Bhagavan or Brahman. So what is that? That will be covered next. Sharad, you have this? Number 28. त्वमर्थमेवं निश्चित्य तदर्थं
तमर्थमेवं निश्चित्य तदर्थं
चिन्तयेत् पुनः
चिन्तयेत् पुनः
अतद्व्यावृत्तिरूपेण
अतद्व्यावृत्तिरूपेण
साक्षाद् विधिमुखेन च
साक्षाद् विधिमुखेन च
एंड टुगेदर त्वमर्थमेवं निश्चित्य तदर्थं चिन्तयेत् पुनः अतद्व्यावृत्तिरूपेण साक्षाद् विधिमुखेन च So Bhagavan says, Tvam artham evam nischitya. Having determined nischitya very clearly, what is tvam artham? What is the meaning of tvam? You or I or that, in what is that? And we already have covered that. What is this tvam? Having completely understood nistadartham chintayet puna. Now we should think about, or you should think about, Shankaracharya ji says again, now you should think about what is tadartham, that, what is the meaning of that? And how do we do that? How do we contemplate upon this truth, which is very subtle? He says, atat vyavritti rupena. First of all, you have to understand what is atat, what is not tat. You know, tat is that consciousness. What is not tat? And how do we understand? Vyavritti rupena, by negation. You know, not this, not this, neti neti. And sakshat vidhi mukhena cha, and directly by the speech, by the teachings of the vidhi. Vidhi means here the scriptures. So two ways to reach that knowledge. One is negation and other one is assertion by the scripture. So there are two ways to study that. And so as we said, you know, the source of knowledge is the Upanishads. We have to take that. And like this text we are studying is also a direct, you know, interpretation, direct, you know, shlokas and mantras from the Upanishads and Shankaracharya ji's own, you know, points, but it is all directly the Upanishad knowledge. And so scriptures are the only way, and it should be done with detailed, lengthy, serious study. Not, you know, people have gone to some conference and they come back and say, I understood I am that. You have understood you are that. Then why are you going to all these sadhus and mahatmas and swamis? And again, they are telling you that. What is the purpose? You have understood. Weekend after weekend conference, this person has understood what the truth is. And that doesn't happen. It has to be repeated. Not only study, but then contemplation on what is meant by I, what is meant by that. And having heard from the scriptures, one should apply this knowledge in our life. So that is Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. And then only this knowledge. And even then, clear understanding from the Guru and Bhagavan's grace. See, it is very important to pray to the Lord. Because this knowledge, no matter how much we read the scriptures, how much we listen, to abide in this knowledge and to really understand, you need the purity of mind and you need Guru's grace and Bhagwan's grace. Without Bhagwan's grace, we cannot reach anywhere. If you think, oh, I already know it, no, regular invoking Lord's grace, doing some puja, some, you know, and offering this knowledge to Bhagwan that it is because of you that I have this knowledge. Now, what is vachyartha and lakshyartha of tad? You know, vachyartha tad is God. When we say God, that is all powerful. He is the creator of the universe, sustainer, destroyer, Brahma,
Vishnu.
Vishnu, Mahesh, you know, all the manifestations of God like Sri Krishna, Sri Rama, Mother Lakshmi, Saraswati. So all those are God, and God governs. He runs the world, he creates the world, sustains the world, and destroys the world as needed, and that's responsible for creation and maintenance of all beings. And the difference between Jiva and Ishvara, what is the difference? They say actually the power behind it is Brahman alone. Brahman alone gives power to the Jiva to function and to Ishvara to function, the Lord. But the difference between us and the Lord is that we Our knowledge is covered by avidya, by ignorance, because I don't really know who I am. I think I have understood, but I don't have the direct experience of that I am that. So, jiva functions through avidya, through ignorance, and Ishvara functions through maya. So, maya is the creative power, the shakti of the Lord, and Ishvara functions through that to create, maintain, and destroy the universe as needed. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. He says that this power of mind called maya, it is daivi, it is divine, because Bhagavan at that time identifies with that total consciousness. And also as Ishvara, he says, I am the one that creates this maya. But to cross this maya and reach me, Bhagavan says, it is very difficult. Durateya, it is very difficult to cross this maya. Just as for us to cross this ignorance is very difficult. But you know, the difference between us and Ishvara is that Ishvara is all powerful. He creates everything, sustains, destroys. And Ishvara, even though functioning through Maya, is not ignorant. He's not ignorant of his real nature, while you and I are. That's why when Shivji was meditating and Parvati ji asked him, the whole world meditates upon you. Whom do you meditate upon? He says, I meditate upon myself. Because he knew that same thing. Bhagavan Krishna, whenever he says, you know, mayeva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishtitam, from me everything is emerged and all that, he's identifying when he says I with that total consciousness. And so that is how we have to inquire, and through negation. So, you know, you say, who is Ramesh? In a crowd, you say, who is Ramesh? They said, oh, he's not Paresh, he's not Naresh, he's not Shailesh, he's Ramesh. And these are all God names, you know, Rama, the Lord of Rama, Vishnu, Suresh is the Lord of the Devatas, and Ganesh, you know, Gana Isha. So these are all names, but they are not Ramesh. So you say, this is Ramesh, and the ones who others are not Ramesh. So by negating that he is not Suresh, he's not Paresh, he's not Ganesh, he's not Shailesh, but you know all those. So by negating all those, then in that crowd you can find the one left is Ramesh. And thus you say that man is Ramesh. So you point it out. Or like you are watching a flower, you know, and suppose that there is a child who doesn't know what a flower is. He's, you know, he's little grown up, but he does not have the direct knowledge. So he says, what is the flower? So you show him the branch and you say, you know, this stem of the tree, the root, that is not flower. The branch is not flower. The leaves are not flower. The stem is not flower, but what you see colorful left over, the round, colorful with multiple petals, that is flower. So that is by negation, negate everything else. So same way the Upanishads tell us, neti, neti, not this, not this. So anything that you can point out as this is not Brahman. Like this house, this body, this mind, this intellect, this car, this whatever you can say, even these stars, these planets, these, you know, even the devatas, none of that is Brahman. They all you have to negate, including all the, you know, the higher and the lower powers. And then what is left is by negating this. So anything you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think of, contemplate, even knowledge is not Brahman. So that which you negate everything and what is left over is Brahman. So that is how you inquire. And as I said, the knowledge is from the guru and from the scriptures. And actually, Brahma alone is everything. He is the Jiva, the Jagat, and the Ishvara. So Brahman is the creator, sustainer, destroyer. Brahman is the Jiva, the knower, and Brahma is the world that is known. So the Jiva, I know the world, and then the one who created me, Ishvara, actually all three are nothing but Brahman. There is nothing aside from Brahman. So the idea is that everything else is an appearance, a temporary appearance, and is changing, will go away, but Brahman is unchanging. He is eternal. So that is 28. So now, Shankaracharya ji will tell us some more qualities of Brahman again by negation. Lata, you have this number 29.
I do.
Nirasta shesha sansarah
Nirasta shesha sansarah.
dosho sthuladilakshanah
Doshosthuladilakshanah.
अदृश्यत्वादिगुणकः
Adrishyatvadigunakah.
पराकृततमो मलः.
पराकृततमो मलः.
वी कैन चैंट टुगेदर. निरस्ताशेषसंसारः दोषो स्थूलादिलक्षणः अदृश्यत्वादिगुणकः पराकृततमो मलः. So few other things that Brahman is not, that Tad is not. Again, he's using negation, and then from the next shlokas he will use the assertion what he is. So nirasta shesha samsara dosha. Ashesha means in whatever are the doshas of this samsara, he is not. He is free from all impurities, all doshas, all faults, all negativities of samsara. And asthula adi lakshana. And he is not gross. Gross means not a gross body, not a subtle body, not short, not tall. So adi means whatever you include in not gross, not subtle, not big, not small. Those are the lakshanas, those are the indicators, pointers to Brahman. These are the ones which define Brahman in a way. Adrishyatvadi gunakaha, and it has the qualities like it cannot be seen, it cannot be heard, it cannot be smelled, tasted, touched, watched, touched, held, feet, moved, touched, nothing. You cannot do anything with Brahman. And parakrita tamo malaha, and it is beyond all the darkness. Tama means darkness of ignorance. Tamas malaha, the impurities and negativities of tamas, it is beyond that. So it is beyond all darkness created by ignorance. So we saw that it has no defects. It cannot have any defects, because in the world, whenever you see anything, it is full of defects. Anything you acquire, even if you are very successful, ultimately it is. And there are three faults associated with pain, associated with temporariness, and then that it is changing. It is always changing. It is always perishing, and it will cause sorrow. Anything in the world will cause sorrow, and it is temporary. And we know that, whatever is temporary, one time it was good, then it becomes bad. One time it was new, becomes old. One time a person loves me, then he doesn't love me. So all that is temporary, and ultimately anything of the world will give you sorrow. At the end, your car, when it gets old, then you have to spend money to repair it. House you have to fix. So anything you have in the world, it will give you sorrow. Or if you lose it, your precious diamond ring, you lose it, then that gives you sorrow. And if nothing else, at the time of death, definitely you'll have sorrow, because if you are attached to things, see, people have more sorrow when they are dying if they are excessively attached. It could be to their child, or to their spouse, or to their property, or to their wealth, or whatever. If you are excessively attached, then your death will be sorrowful. But these Mahatmas, they just float. For them, birth and death is no difference. It is the same thing. So the way to leave it is the same thing in the world. If something you love a lot and it gets lost, you start crying. But if it's something you didn't care much, hai toh theek hai, nahi hai toh it's okay. Then even if you lose it, you'll have less sorrow. So the idea is that do not be excessively attached to anything, your property, your children, your family, your possessions, even your job, your title. Tomorrow, if you lose your title and somebody else gets it, it is fine. So, not to be attached. Because in this world, when you are young, you can do things, but as you get older, you can't. So, even your skills are temporary. So, like, basketball, there was a 15-year-old and he could play basketball 3, 4 hours. And not get tired and shoot. And the same boy becomes 25. He says, I at 15, I could do 3, 4 hours and next morning was fine. Now at 25, I'm getting old. Even 2 hours I play in the morning, I wake up with backache, headache. And for all of us, we are not able to do the things that we could do at 25. I know one lady who loves to dance, and she used to dance with teenage girls. She was in her 40s. All night they will do all garba, bhangra and all that. And oh, but she could, she said, oh, I can dance with the 18, 20-year-old and I don't get tired. And then what happened? After a few years, she needed both knees replaced. Because what you are at 40, you are not, I mean, you are, don't think you are 18. So in this world, everything has defects. And also, it's again, the Upanishads describe as it is not gross, it is not subtle, not big, not small, not short, doesn't have any form, doesn't have any colors. Even though we have form of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Sri Ram, Mother Saraswati, and all that, but those are all manifestations of Brahman. Brahman appears in those forms. But the actual Brahman, the consciousness, which is all pervading, which sustains everything, has no form, no color. And but at the same time, the Mundaka Upanishad says that it is adrishyam. Adrishyam means cannot be seen. Agrahyam, cannot be held by the hands, cannot be described in the speech. You cannot walk towards Brahman. Because you are Brahman. Brahman is always everywhere. So it's not that sometime in some future I will reach Brahman or sustain Brahman or catch Brahman or understand Brahman. The scriptures tell us you are Brahman. So stop running around. Just stay in that, abide in that truth. That's why in meditation we say, I am that Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. And Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani, Shankaracharya ji tells us in the Vivek Chudamani that you are that Brahman, abide in that. And then it is avarnam, it has no color, it has no caste. You cannot say Brahman is only in Brahmins, not in Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras, like Shudras used to be treated as low caste and could not enter temple, could not, you could not touch him. If you touched him, you had to take a bath. But that same thing, Shankaracharya ji teaches us, that everything is that, Brahma Tattvamasi. Everybody is that, everything is that. To think somebody is low caste is again error, because that is Brahman also. So when you are insulting or hurting somebody, you are insulting or hurting God. And at the same time, it is vibhum. Vibhum means all pervading. So it's not that Brahman is only in the temple or only in good people's homes, and even in the plants, animals, birds, fish, even in insects, bacteria, viruses, even bacteria that kill you, COVID virus and strep and all, Brahman is there in all of them. But the difference is the equipment. Like the plant, has different equipment, can grow, and plant also can think. Like where there is sun, it will grow towards sun. If there is a pole, the plant will sense it that there is a pole and will grow towards that pole and hold on to it and then climb. So we shouldn't think that plant is, has no. I'm just reading a book now where the people are doing research on the intelligence of plants, how intelligent they are, and how their roots, they get all the knowledge from the roots. And if they see a plant of their kind, they will cooperate. Like if you put two plants of the same kind in a pot, if they are the same kind, they will cooperate, to nourish each other. But if one is a different species, then the plant will try to take the food because he recognizes this is me and this is not me. So that much intelligence plants have, of course, animals, birds, fish. And this book, they are trying to find consciousness, but their first error is they are objectifying consciousness, that consciousness is an object. And we know with science, we know so much. And once science gets to know fully, then we will know Brahman. So that is their first fundamental error. I was reading the book. And the error is that they are objectifying. Brahman is the subject, can never be known as an object. It is that which illumines your intellect and mind, and the intellect can never know Brahman. Intellect can understand it is Brahman. I cannot know Brahman as an object. Like the example Gurudev gives is a person is watching with a telescope. Now, with the telescope, he can see all the planets, the stars, and everything. But if he turns the telescope upon himself, the seer, the telescope cannot see him. Telescope can only see when there is an intelligent being at the other end. So same way, intellect can only function when it is supported by consciousness. Intellect cannot, though we say in meditation, you turn your direction inward, not to know Brahman as an object, but to abide in that truth that I am Brahman. So, and it is also agotram. Agotra means has no caste. It's not that Brahman had a father, grandfather, great grandfather. We say, what is your gotra? You say, I'm Kashyap, or whatever rishis the gotra starts from. But Brahman has no gotra, and it is beyond everything that we can see. And Bhagwan Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. It is of the nature of illumination, and it is beyond all darkness. So beyond all the darkness of ignorance. That's why he says, Parakrita Tamo Malaha. So it has the darkness of ignorance is not there in that. Varshaman, you can do number 30. You can unmute. Nirastatishayanandaha
Nirastatisayanandaha
Satyapragnana
Satyapragnana
Vigraha
Vigraha Sattasvalakshanah Purnah
Sattasvalakshanah Purnah Paramatmeti Giyate
Paramatmeti Giyate
Together, Nirastatishayanandaha, Satyaprajnana Vigraha, Sattasvalakshana Purnaha, Paramatmeti Giyate. So, iti Giyate, this is what is described. This is what is mentioned. Giyate means sung. So, like the Upanishads, from the Sam Vedas, they are to be sung. So, what is Paramatma? Iti Giyate. That is What is this Supreme Lord? It has been indicated by the Upanishads, by the scriptures. And now here, Shankaracharya ji is telling us what Bhagwan is. But one has to understand that no words can describe Brahman. No words can describe. That's why Gurudev says, infinite cannot be reached by the finite. So whatever words they are, even the words of the scriptures, of Vakya Vritti, of anything, Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, they all can indicate Brahman. They actually cannot describe 100%. And these masters also say that what I have experienced, I cannot describe, but I am trying to describe so that you may also reach there. So that's the purpose. If Upanishads cannot describe, then why hundreds of Upanishads? Some people say 1,000 Upanishads were given. Why? Because these rishis, what they had experienced, they want us to experience also. So they give us pointers how, by following this knowledge of the Upanishads, we can reach. And so this is by assertion. So like, they say Swarupa Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana. So, did I translate this? No. Nirasta Ati Shayanandaha. It is, has no other bliss than itself. So, Brahman is pure bliss. Satya Prajnana Vigraha. It is the embodiment of truth and knowledge. Prajnana is the supreme knowledge. So, it is Ananda. Satya is existence, and Prajnana is the consciousness. So existence, consciousness, bliss, it is vigraha, means manifestation or a large embodiment of eternal consciousness. Okay. And satta svalakshana, and its main, one of the indication that is very, very powerful is sat. It exists. Existence is its specific definition, and it is purna. It is complete, all-pervading. And that is called Paramatma, the Supreme Self. So there are Swarupa Lakshana, and they are, Tatastha Lakshana. So we have talked about, like, there is a house, and you in Ramakrishna's house. You say, where is it? He says, oh, in the down the street where there is a silver Toyota parked, there is Ramakrishna's house. But on that street, there may be two or three silver Toyotas. It's a busy street. Then you don't know which it is. Or today you recognize, okay, this is the house. But next time you come, there is no silver Toyota parked. Then how would you know? So then you have to give the indicator. It's number 416 and with the four-story gray house, all that. So that silver Toyota is the Tatastha Lakshana, and its number and its gray color and four story, that is Swarupa Lakshana of that house. Similarly, this world is a Swarupa Lakshana of Atma, of Brahman. What we see is the appearance. World is Tatastha Lakshana. Did I say Swaru? No, sorry. World is Tatastha Lakshana. It is an indicator. When you see the world, you know that there is somebody who had to create the world. Those, scientists say, oh, it just with the Big Bang, it came out of itself. It cannot come. All this complex world and planets and all cannot be created just out of a bang, and suddenly all this intelligence appears, all these laws of gravity, and how these, like Halley's comet appears every 87 years. Where it goes billions and billions of miles and how it comes back, nobody knows, but it comes to the earth exactly, So Halley was the one, the British scientist, who first described it. So anything that you see is Tatastha Lakshana, and what is Swarupa Lakshana, that is its own quality. So what are the three? So it's not three qualities of Brahman, but Brahman itself is all these three. So one is bliss. Bliss, but not happiness. People think happiness is Brahman. No, happiness is due to an object because of something that is the lakshana. Swarup lakshanam is bliss without any cause. And in Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a Brahmanand Valli. I'll cover that. It's beautiful. It says, suppose there is a man or a woman, young, healthy, maybe like in their 20s, healthy and very happy, has all the comforts of the world, has all that strength, is very wise, has all the wealth of the world, everything, and has studied the scriptures. So that, to some extent, so that person is one unit of happiness. You cannot think of anything better, right? Young, perfect health, strength, wise, knowledge, wealth, all the wealth of the world. That is one unit. Then Gandharvas are the celestial, musicians. They are 100 times the knowledge of this one person. 100 times the happiness of this one person is that. Then Gandharva, then beyond that, there are celestial Gandharvas that play music for the gods. They are 100 times more than this Gandharvas. Then there are Pitrulok, where our ancestors go. That is 100 times. So what happened? 100 multiplied by 100 is, 10,000, and multiplied by 100 is a million. And then more than that is Devaloka, where all these gods live. Then there are Karma Deva Lokas, where the higher devas also there is, gradation. And then beyond that are higher devas than even that. And then beyond them all is Indra. So each one you multiply 100 times, 100 times, 100 times. By the time you reach Indra, it is more than a billion, And then more than Indra is Brihaspati, the teacher of the gods. And 100 times more than him is Prajapati. And 100 times more is Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaji, the creator. So how many multiply 100 times? It has gone, beyond billions to till trillions. And that's how much the happiness is compared to one individual whom we find in earth is perfect. But they say a man who knows the Vedas and has no desires, his bliss is even more than all of them. It is more than Indra, more than Brahmaji, more than Prajapati, Brihaspati, all of those. So that is the glory of this man of knowledge. That means a realized master who knows the Vedas thoroughly and has given up desire. So two things are important: knowledge and giving up desires. And if you have those two, and knowledge means not intellectual knowledge, what we are talking about, but true experience of that, that is the power of this man of wisdom. So that's why they say Brahmananda Valli, one who has that knowledge of Brahman, that Anand which he enjoys, is much more than any of these. And that's why Brahman is said to be Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Again, in another Upanishad, Satya means existence, Jnana means knowledge, Ananta means infinite bliss. And existence is its true indicator, true definition. So they say, like, what is existence? So you say you see a tree. Now the tree exists, right? And then somebody cuts the tree and makes it into, like cuts the roots and the branches and the trunk. So that wood, that tree has become now all these planks. Then from the planks, you make furniture. And then from the furniture, after it gets old, you give it away and it gets burnt or gets destroyed. But the existence remains. Existence is in the tree, existence is in the parts of the tree, existence is in the planks, existence is in the wood, and existence is in the furniture, and existence is in the ashes that is burned. So existence does not get destroyed. You may destroy or change the nature and form, but that existence, which is Brahman, is eternal, and that is the so it is a direct definition of that. And that Brahman is complete. He's Purna, he's complete, he is very compassionate. It's not even he, because it's beyond male and female. That Brahman, that which is indicated by Tat, is compassionate, very, very, and has given us whatever we have. So they say you can study at the highest level, or you can start. That's why the Vedanta has the highest scriptures, and then Shankaracharya ji has also composed Tattva Bodh, Atma Bodh for beginners. So it's like when you go to buy a car and you go to a Tesla dealer and you say, "I want a car." He says, "Okay, it's $85,000." You say, "I only have $2,000." So he says, "2,000, you're in the wrong place." He doesn't say in the wrong place. No, he's very smart. He said, "2,000, no problem. They come on to our used car. Next door is our used car dealership. And there we have an old, rickety car for 2,000." So he's able to accommodate all of them, even somebody who wants 100,000 or somebody who wants 2,000. Same way, this knowledge of Brahma ji is of Brahman, the supreme consciousness. There are different levels of knowledge. So wherever we are, wherever we fit in, we should get that knowledge and then progress higher. Like a person buys a $2,000 car, then after some time he gets a better job, then he can buy a 10,000, 20,000, and ultimately even afford that 100,000 car. So our goal should be clear. What is my goal in life? That should be very clear. So talking about goal, this man was interviewing some young kids. So he asked the boy, "What is your goal?" He says, "My goal is to make $50 billion." Says, $50 billion? "Yes, I want to make $50 billion, just like my dad." So he says, "Your dad has $50 billion?" He says, "No, he has the same goal." He hasn't reached. So not like that. Our goal should be very clear. Where am I going with my life? We can do one more. Hansa Ben, you have that? Number 31. Sarvajnatvam Pareshatvam
Sarvajnatvam
Asampurna Shaktita
Pareshatvam
Vedai
Tatham
Samarthyate Yasya
Samarthyate Yasya
Tadbrahmetyavadharaya
Tadbrahmetyavadharaya
Sarvajnatvam
Tatham
Pareshatvam
Sampurna
तथा संपूर्ण
Shaktita
शक्तिता वेदै समर्थ्यते यस्य तद्ब्रह्मेत्यवधारय. सो लास्ट क्वार्टर तद्ब्रह्म इति अवधारय. सो दैट ब्रह्मन अवधारय मीन्स हैव अ वेरी क्लियर फर्म अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ व्हाट इज इट एंड असर्टेन इट वेरी क्लियरली. So who is this Brahman? So Sarvajnatvam means it is all knowing. Pareshatvam, para and isha, the lord of everything, all that is the world and beyond, all powerful, it is the supreme lord. And tatha and sampurna shaktita, and all the powers it has. And Vedas agree with this. Vedas have proved this, and they have emphasized again and again this Brahman, and that Brahman iti avadharaya. So that which we consider as Brahman has all these qualities: all knowing, all powerful, beyond all this world, and described in the Vedas. So So then, they ask, what is the difference between Brahman and Ishvara? We say Ishvara is all powerful, can create and knows. So what is the difference? So Gurudev describes it very beautifully, I think, or maybe in another commentary. Brahman is static and Ishvara is dynamic. Static does not mean that Brahman doesn't, but Brahman itself doesn't do anything. Brahman is just existence, consciousness, bliss. And because of the presence of Brahman, all this world appears. The Jiva, the Jagat, and the Ishvara. But Ishvara is nothing but dynamic Brahman. When Brahman decides to function, it takes up the role of Ishvara, that is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. And through Maya, through Prakriti, it creates and sustains this whole universe. So Ishvara is nothing but dynamic Brahman. Brahman is static, is that, and when it is decides to function through Maya, it becomes that. And Isha means it is the Lord, it is all powerful. And we know of these demons who tried to cheat, and they did a lot of years of tapas, and when they got a bid, I mean got a boon from Brahmaji or Lord Shiva, like Ravana said, nobody should be able to kill me. They said, no, not nobody. You have to give some exception. He says, not gods, not demons, not yakshas, not, okay, given tathas to tathas. Only man and monkey should be able to kill me. Shivji says, tathas to. So he thought, man can never touch me. I am so powerful. Then Bhagavan came as man and all his, the devtas came as monkeys. So Bhagwan became man and monkey to fulfill that wish. He got his boon, but at the same time he was destroyed. Or Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyakashipu, everybody knows. He said, I should not be killed inside, outside, not by a created by Brahmaji, not no weapons, no all those things, not in day, not in night. And then Narsimha Bhagavan came and fulfilled all his conditions and still killed him. So people think that they are great. Somebody will say, I don't know, I don't need God. I in the Bay Area, I made two startups and I've sold them for, 500 million, another for a billion. I'm so rich. I have this luxurious house on the coast and which is worth 30, $40 million. Who needs God? And one little thing comes, a hurricane comes, his whole house gets demolished. A little earthquake comes. We think we are strong, but earthquake comes, the buildings, the highways, the roads, everything, it just cracks, what do you call it? Like wafer, like a chips, it can do that. So man thinks he is powerful, but nature, compared to nature, we are nothing. We are very small. And we have limited power. But God has infinite power. Whatever, there's nothing with, in Bal Vihar, we used to have a song. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his. So nothing that God cannot do. These children used to sing a very cute song. And how does the world appear? So they say there is the creative power, then there is the
Sustain. Yeah, Shakti.
Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. And so it has the upadana, it has the material, it has the ability to create, and then the power to create. Efficient cause, material cause, and instrumental cause. Like a pot maker is making a pot. Pot maker is the efficient cause. He knows how to make a pot. The instrumental cause is the wheel on which the pot
Mud is
moves,
the
and
material.
the mud is the material cause. So in this particular shloka, they are mentioning Brahman as one who has the power to create the nimitta karana or the efficient cause. And for that, he needs power, he needs strength, and he needs knowledge of how to create. And so they say Brahman enters into all beings, enters into animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, and functions. Also enters into inanimate objects, like into stones and rocks. And in the works, is the same Brahman, but depending on the equipment, like the plant's equipment is less than the animal, the bird, the fish, and humans. So it is that same Brahman, and in the rocks it is inert, but everything is that Brahman, but functions differently based on the equipment
Conditioning.
and the conditioning. So like in the trees, it can, it can grow. Animals, it can move, find its own food, and so on. And it has the knowledge by which it can create and sustain and destroy the universe. So, like a judge, he has to have the knowledge of law when he's judging the criminal, or the one defendant, and he has to have the right knowledge of law, and then only he can do justice. But in India, they say that you don't need to have knowledge of law. If a person has hit a other person, and that person dies and he runs away, and the police catch that person, and a court case happens after 3 6 months, by then his lawyers have collected enough evidence to show that he was not even in this town. He was not driving the car, he was not even here. They get all the evidence. But in Bhagwan's court, you cannot escape. You cannot say, Bhagwan, I didn't do it because I was not in this town. So Bhagwan knows everything, and that consciousness, that, and even in the sun, and it goes as fire, in the moon as cooling light, everywhere Brahman enters and then functions. So in all of that, so that's why they say God is everywhere, and that is how one should see. So today we have talked about Tat. The first two shlokas told us what it is not. It is not small, not big, not has no color, equipment, form, etc. And then they have told us what it truly is through the scriptures. It is Ananda, knowledge, and Sat. So here, Shank, we will end. We have a few minutes if people have questions. But these four shlokas are very beautiful, how Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has described Brahman for us in both ways, by negation and by scriptural quotations. All these points that were given were all from scriptures, from the Upanishads. So very, very beautiful. So this is something we should think again, read Gurudev's commentary, and try to abide in this knowledge, because otherwise this knowledge is very subtle, very difficult to reach. So thank you very much. My pranams to all of you. Any comments or questions on any of the shlokas today? Yeah, Sharat.
Another one was Shankara, Raman Maharishi is very easy that way too. Aham Anida. That is also very easy to understand. Whatever is idam means this
Right.
is not. The one who knows this is
Is the aham, the knower.
Aham
So,
Anida.
yeah.
For me, that's very easy.
Right. I, aham is I, that consciousness, and everything else is idam.
Whatever is known.
Idam shariram, Bhagwan says in the 13th chapter, idam
13th chapter.
shariram kaunteya. This body is also idam, is not I. Yeah.
Everything that is known
Right.
is not.
Is idam, right.
That's
And
all.
that is not Brahman. Yeah.
Another thing, another point is unconditioned consciousness is at the highest level, and when it get conditioned by the total conditioning, Maya. Then it becomes Ishvara and then Jagat. So
Right.
conditioning is different.
Yeah, condition.
Between Jiva and Ishvara, the conditioning is different.
Right.
So
Jiva,
depending.
Jagat, and Ishvara are
So
all
that
Brahman, but with different conditioning. Yeah, jiva is conditioned by avidya, and then jagat is inert, and the jiva knows it, and then Ishvara is conditioned by maya, by the total creative power. Yeah, Sharad, you had a comment or question?
With these set of shlokas or brief chapters, I had a difficult time understanding the second portion. So they were, the Shankaracharya ji is emphasizing two things. One is negation or nishiddha, and the second one's assertion, vidhi. So
Right.
first question is, it should be practiced serially. Is my understanding, because how can I know what is assertion without negation? And other thing is, just to clarify my understanding, or lack of, the negation part is relatively easy. I went back to Vivek Chudamani and read those set of chapters that deals on negation, and that's fairly easy, but I found the assertion, the vidhi part, very, very difficult. Is that true, or is that just me?
No, that is
Because
true.
after all, towards the end of these chapters, Pujya Gurudev says that infinite cannot be described by that which is finite, in this case, words. And I understand intellectually that the Vedas play a key in the vidhi portion. But even that is difficult, because what am I exactly asserting, even when I do the assertion with this limited intellect or mind? I had a difficult time with the assertion portion. And the other question was, even with this assertion, this aparoksha jnana that takes place, even that is beyond this vidhi, right?
Yeah, the knowledge is beyond it, but the scriptures are the only way to reach. So instead of saying like Shankaracharya ji has done them together, two shlokas of negation, two of assertion. So it does not mean that I have to keep negating for many years before I know it. It is a simultaneous process. Negate what is not, and then assert what I am. And that's why even
That is
Nirvan
why
Shatka,
meditation is for that
right?
only.
Manobuddha, Ahankar, Chittanin. I am not the body, the mind, the intellect, the senses. Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. So Shankaracharya ji negates that I am not the pranas, I am not the emotions, I am not even the mantras, even the scriptures. I am not. In the fourth shloka, he says, and I have no birth, I have no mother, I have no father. So that is all negation. And then in the end of that shloka, he says, I am Chit Anand, consciousness, bliss, and Shiva. Shiva is existence. So all I am. So there, that is the assertion. And you just keep on trying to abide in that understanding. And repeated reading of the scriptures and thinking about it and meditating and contemplating.
It takes time,
Yeah,
isn't
it
it?
takes time. People do it for years and years. So it's not something that will
Because
happen
we
over.
have been thinking about ourselves for long, long, long,
Right,
long, long time,
true.
that I am this body, this mind. So
Yeah.
it will take.
Yeah, right from protozoa, I have been thinking I am this body. And that was 8.4 million births we have gone through, thinking I am the body. It's only in this human birth that you have this knowledge, and maybe in the last birth you maybe have had some, but here now we have these scriptures that are clearly indicating to us. So I think just repeated reading, thinking, and living that knowledge means do not get too attached to things, do not let things bother you, remain a witness. They say sakshi, sakshi not only in meditation but also in life. I had mentioned last week to witness the mind is a very, very powerful exercise. So constantly watch what is my mind doing, not only in meditation, but at all times. Then you'll say, my mind is happy, unhappy. Okay, one is happy, one is unhappy, but I am the witness of both. So slowly then detaching from the lower and attaching to the higher. And then also regular chanting the mantras, pray, doing some puja, spending time with God, that will help.
It all helps to purify the mind from this.
Helps to purify the mind, right?
And that pure and subtle intellect is what can abide in that knowledge.
Right. So the subtle intellect, which is free of impurities, free of negativities, and has the clear knowledge of the scriptures. And slowly it will happen, but it's a gradual process. It's like the window which has not been cleaned in years, has all black paint on it. You cannot clean it in one sitting. You have to brush it, clean it, bring some solutions. It might take you several days or weeks, or same way. In this case, it takes several years and could even take, lifetimes. But as Bhagavan Krishna says in the sixth chapter, wherever you have reached in the spiritual knowledge, I'll keep that for you. And when you next take another birth, I'll have it ready so that you will not lose it. So nothing is lost in spirituality. But goal should be this life itself. But even if I don't, one should not get discouraged. Okay, we'll end here. And then I also want to ask how long we want to study, do the Tuesday class. Maybe think about it a week or two and then we can decide. We will definitely continue till the 18th of May. Sorry, 5th to 12th and 19th, till the 19th of May. That will be probably the last class. Next as well. That will probably be the last class. If we want to continue in the summer, if there are enough people, we can do it, or we can take a break for the summer. So there will be two more classes after this. Same thing, Bhagavad Gita, there will be only one class. So we'll end here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। तो दैट्स पूर्ण विच वी से इन दिस प्रेयर, दैट इज ब्रह्मन। रिमेंबर इन द लास्ट श्लोका इट इज सेड ही इज पूर्ण, ही इज ऑल कंप्लीट एंड देर इज नथिंग दैट ही इज नॉट, एवरीवेयर ही दैट अलोन इज।
I can't drive that car.
Thank you, Hariyo.